just to keep it cool. But the heat is on and I never could show too much restraint.
Definitely a different vibe. I like to hear it though. That's cool. How many albums do you guys have out?
The next one will be the third. Well, there's a live album as well, but three studio albums.
So how long have y'all been together then?
The band has existed for 3 years. The first year was, I feel like a lot of different people were like in and out of the band. To sort of like, I don't know, I feel like people were finding their place in the Burlington music scene after COVID ended and like things opened back up. The three of us have been in the band together since you guys both got in around like a year after it started. And yeah, then the second year we had a keyboardist until about a year ago, and then we've been doing this Pyro Trio thing for about a year or so.
Nice. And how'd you all meet? Like how'd y'all come together?
Like Will said, after COVID, I feel like there was a lot of energy for us kids to play live music, and the scene blossomed during that time, and we were all around in it, and when the time came that we all wanted to be in a band at the same time, it happened.
Right. So it was the right time then. Do you think everything in life is like that?
Absolutely.
I think it all happens at the right time.
That's 100%. It's serendipity. When things are meant to be, they miraculously happen.
Wow. Well, do you think there's a part of it that's like you can change if that's going to happen or not? You know? Can you want something enough to make it happen if it wasn't your original destiny?
We're speaking about manifestation.
That was the word that was coming into my mind.
Maybe a little bit.
Is Jeff Bezos destiny? Because he certainly wants it. I don't know, man. That's going to be up to the philosophy majors.
That's me.
Oh, philosophy major over here.
Yes, I am.
Thoughts
yes, I
on
am.
It?
Does the universe want Jeff Bezos to succeed?
I would say the real question isn't about like whether or not determinism is like a valid point of view, because I think that's like super beside the point, because you just can't believe in it if you want to function or get anything done. You can't sit back and be like, oh, well, it's all predetermined, it's all meant to happen, so I'm just not going to act. You kind of just have to like set aside what may or may not be the truth in terms of that like sequence of events, so that you can actually like get yourself up out of bed and like doing things and moving and changing things. Because maybe Jeff Bezos is meant to be, unfortunately, but maybe what's really meant to be is some people go out and they like stop him. You know?
So you guys are going to stop Jeff Bezos is what I'm hearing?
More like a partnership.
Oh, so you want
a collaboration.
Benefit. Okay. You guys can kindly.
His and his only.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up now. Actually, I think it's cut. No, I'm kidding.
Not sponsored.
Definitely not sponsored. But that's cool. That's a nice story about, you know, you guys meeting up at the right time. And you're right. I do think a lot of life is like that. Why don't you guys tell us more a little bit about your like writing process? Who writes the music?
I think that it's been like, I would say David and I like both, get the ball rolling kind of separately. We both like, do a good amount of writing on our own. And, but I would say our songwriting process is like very collaborative. We're like pretty early on into like having an idea. We'll bring it to the group and like basically I'll like be like, all right guys, don't hate this. And then I play a little something and then they are like, all right, like I guess I'll try and help you out with this one.
And then our own parts are written from there.
So. Yeah. And like, it does vary like how much of a song comes in, like fully formed or like open to direction from the band. Like sometimes there's songs where it's like, I'm like, here's all the parts and like, help me like organize it. But like they're done. And then there's certain times where it's like, oh, like someone else writes sections. So it's I think a lot of like this album in particular that we're putting out, I think we feel really strongly about having sort of been honing that collaborative process. And I think, that's part of why we all feel like, I don't know, it's produced some very special results that I wouldn't have written the songs this way if I was doing it by myself. So, even if I do like a lot of part writing, like it's very much inspired by the things that you guys like and have shown me, and like I don't know the path we're on together or something like that.
Whoa, how intense! are you guys recording this new album? Like, are you doing it yourselves? Or are you guys part of a label? Or what's
not
the
on
deal?
A label? We recorded it. At a couple studios at Berkeley in Boston, because our friend Sam Harris, shout out Sam Harris, engineered this album and like did all the recording sessions, and he got a studio time because he was studying down there, and so he got us some free studio time that luckily we were able to take advantage of, and yeah, that's how it happened.
Cool.
Would you guys say that there are any, like going back to your songwriting process, any songs or sounds on the album that you'd say have been in the works for like a long, long time, or how long have you been kind of working on this?
Well, there are two songs that come to mind that we started about a year before the album, in some way, shape, or form. That'd be Colorado, which just came out, and The Brawn. And those two songs had been in the pressure cooker for a while, so to speak. They'd gone back and forth across like multiple iterations, different part changes. And when the album finally rolled around, like it was funny how the first recording session happened, because it kind of dropped right into our laps. We were not expecting to do a record right then. We were thinking about focusing on touring for the summer, getting out and around the Northeast, maybe a little further. And we did all that, but we also were met with this opportunity to do this album. So we had to finalize these song forms and come up with exact parts that we wanted to hear on the record. And so that was sort of the catalyzing moment that made it like, oh, these have to sound a certain way now, and we have to decide that collectively. And it kind of made it easier that we'd been playing them for a year in so many different ways, because we all had different ideas about how to make it more solid. These other tunes, a lot of them we were finishing writing during the album recording process, and so they didn't end up with the same sort of maybe confidence or exploration behind them, but yeah. I'm really happy with the results regardless of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I have a silly question, because I always feel that it's good to have silly questions, but one of my favorites to ask is, if you could be a fruit or vegetable, what would you be and why? And then if the band was a fruit or vegetable, what would it be and why?
Ooh. All right. Individually, spinach. No cutting corners.
It's a creative one. You don't hear that one often.
I have not heard spinach. Every time I've asked this question, people are like, oh, tomato, strawberry.
That never was like off spinach. The dome too. You had it ready.
Straight nutrients.
I physically resemble broccoli or broccolini, so that's my spirit vegetable for sure.
All right.
I was gonna say that, but it felt too obvious. I like hope to aspire to the qualities that grapefruits have.
Sweet. They're pretty good. As a band, I don't know if this counts, but chickpeas.
Ooh. That's a bean.
You are popping.
What about? I was thinking that? Eggplant, dude. Can we be both?
Why was I also thinking eggplant and chickpeas? That's crazy.
All right.
I was also
in tune.
What? That was insane.
It's like fate.
Oh my god.
It's fate.
Predetermined.
It's all predetermined.
Answer. Jeff Bezos. Whoa. No, I'm kidding.
Get your groceries on Amazon Prime. Chickpeas. Eggplant.
Well.
Special code Moondog sellout.
Well, let's ponder about your chickpea eggplantism during your next song.
Copy that.
All right, this one's called The Brawn. It is one of the first two that we wrote on this next album, and you better like it. Thank you.
nice.
Thank you.
That one was cool. It was like you had multiple genres occurring in one song.
Yeah, that one's supposed to be kind of a brain scramble.
Consider me scrambled. I have a question. How do you guys, so in the beginning, I guess the whole thing, how do you keep track of those like weird time signatures so well? What are you counting in your head? Are you counting? Are you feeling it? Like, how is this happening? How are you on the same page?
Well, these songs we have been playing like for at least all this year and some of last year. So like that one, like it's pretty deep in my brain. Like I hear that song when I don't want to hear that song. You know? yeah. I don't know. It's really song by song and section by section because, like, there's, like, different... I feel like everybody and, like, practicing songs with weird time signatures with other musicians, it's, like, kind of everyone finds their own way to count things, and you kind of got to let people just, like, go about it on their own way versus being like, well, you need to count, like, five bars of this and one bar of that.
Right, so long as we're on the same page. I think it's both feeling and counting. Grueling hours of counting with a metronome in yes. practice, mm-hmm. and now... No, it's a little more feelable.
Yeah. Okay. It's important to, like, I think, to when you're writing the song, to have a pulse that you're all doing the same thing on, and, like, the way that you conceptualize around that is fine, but, like, you kind of decide, like, okay, we're counting this with quarters, or, like, we're counting this with eighth notes, and then everything from there is, like, interpretive, but I think that common starting point is kind of how we got the Braun going, at least, was, like, how does that fit over the original time signature? How do we get the... you know, the alternative feeling to lock in.
That was a great response, I would say. Do you have something to say?
Just so you start simple and then you kind of complexify from there.
100%.
Yeah, that song, we literally just went in a row. We're like, okay, we did this section. That was cool. Now what do we do? And then we built another section. We're like, okay, I guess these kind of go together. Now it should be. So yeah, we started with building blocks and now it's this weird oozing amalgamation.
Yeah, there was also one time we jammed on it with one of our old keyboard players, and then like we just did a blues jam in the middle, and now we just still do it. So that's that like is that. Definitely like intentionally like let's fucking put a blues. Oh, sorry. Let's put a blues.
That's okay. That's okay. No, I'll just quickly be like, you know, the station does not support
the preceding material. If you have any. Comments and concerns about the previous material, you can call the station at 602-656-4399.
Additionally, if I guess I should have said this earlier, if anybody listening has anything to say to the band, call in at that number, or you can chat them on WRUV.org. So there's that, and basically we don't support expletives like that. So yeah.
Party foul.
It's okay. Hey, we all do it. It's okay.
It is true.
But no, that's really cool. Do you ever have like really brutal practice sessions where you're like getting mad at each other because you're like, oh my god?
Typically,
can't you just
do it? The anger comes from hunger. And so we started eating more and talking less, which has been good. But yes.
Lessons for life.
We have disagreed often.
Relationship advice.
Yeah.
Eat more, talk less.
Next album, eat more, talk less.
Straight up.
Ooh. You could write a song called Grapefruit. You can also write a song called Eggplant and Chickpea.
So true.
Boom. Not broccolini. Spinach, and spinach and broccoli. We basically just wrote your next album. You're welcome. Credit us. Thank you.
Yeah,
kids
album.
Yeah.
Cover album.
Would you guys ever play like a movie soundtrack? Would you, if somebody were to contract you, would you be open to doing that?
No
if
doubt.
If people were to pay me to write music, like, I would probably have to do it. Yeah.
If you could write.
Yo Gabba Gabba plays with the most goated cats around. Thundercat, are you kidding me? I want to get in on that.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah. I like check in sometimes because the Yo Gabba Gabba has like an Instagram, and I like to see who's been playing recently because it's always so good.
Yeah, it's crazy. The collabs are insane.
If you guys could, kind of building off of that movie question, if you could write a song or like a whole album for a movie that's already existing, what movie would you want to write for?
That's a great question.
There's a movie out called Moondog. And I think that we should do that. It's like Matthew McConaughey as like a like a sleazebag poet who like lives in Florida and like hangs out on his yacht and does all this crazy stuff all the time. And then he puts out like the once in a century novel, like, and then he did that and he lived off his spoils and he was going through it. He was about to be down on his luck, and then he turns out the second novel of the century. And so I think that if we could write the song,
yeah, I think it's
that,
I think it's your destiny bringing it all back. Oh. Jeff Bezos wants you to do that.
Full circle.
Well, then I'll not do it just to spite him.
I think we would do a pretty good job soundtracking Inception.
Mm.
Dang. Oh boy, time signatures.
That's heavy.
Or the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. Is that the Batman? The Joker's thing?
Is it the Batman one with Robert Pattinson in it? Or no?
Christian Bale.
Oh, wow.
Too even many Batmans,
like, more moody.
Not enough Jokers.
I have a question. So you guys have been on tour before.
You could call it that.
You could call it that. Okay. Well, tell us about your experience with that. Do you like touring? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Do you have any crazy
What's
stories
your go-to
from tour?
Tour meal?
Favorite crowd?
Shawarma. Mm. No doubt. It's a good show if there's a shawarma place nearby.
Oh. Before or after? You know, before is ideal, but like a good...
What about
Euro
before
after
and
show.
After?
This one actually goes out to Pita Pocket, Northampton, if you're listening. We love you.
And NCAR 3 in New York City, straight right on 43rd Ave, Midtown. Thank God. That's all I have to say.
You'll notice our 5-star reviews on Google.
Wait, I've been to Pita Pocket. It's so good. Yes.
Wow.
I know that. Wow.
So y'all like to tour or what?
Oh, yeah, right.
Sorry.
The main question.
I like to go get Euros. But... yeah, I mean, we've this summer and the summer before that done a handful of like out of town runs. I guess I don't know what like officially makes something a tour. Like, I don't know if you're like, you know, don't have a job to go back to, then it's a tour. But I guess we can call this a summer tour. We played like maybe between 15 or 20 shows around the Northeast. And yeah, I mean, it's just starting, you know, at zero and just like asking bars like if you can show up, and sometimes there's people there to listen and sometimes there aren't. And I mean, there's definitely like some places that we have a lot of fun. Like, there's this Sawtooth Kitchen in Hanover, New Hampshire. That place is a blast.
Shout out Charlie.
Stella Blues in New Haven, that's a really fun place to play. Rockwood City Music Hall in New York City. Those are some really fun ones. Yeah, I mean, it's very exciting to go somewhere else and like introduce our music to like fresh ears. It's pretty tiring, but I don't know. There's definitely a sense of adventure to it that we have a good time.
We do. It's the fun part of vacation. Plus, we get to play music and sometimes get paid.
Yeah, it's like kind of like going back to the original question, how did we meet? I think we met because we all liked music a lot, and then we became friends. And now that we're friends, we get to play music at the same time that we hang out in new places, which is like, it's pretty much
the best.
You
got the ideal setup.
That's a dream.
Going on.
Right?
Yeah.
If you guys could open for any band, what band would it be? Or if you could have any band open for you, what band would it be?
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Uh-oh. No doubt. Next tour, hit us up.
I bet
take us to
listening.
Japan.
They got you.
You look like you're thinking hard, Will.
Yeah, not really about too much, though. yeah, I don't know who I'd want to open for. Maroon 5.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Put together
you
a acoustic set.
With them?
Put together an acoustic
set. If they
played,
like, songs about Jane, like, that's a good album. I would open for them for that.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, if we put together an acoustic set, I'd want to open for Sturgill Simpson because he's about to stop playing forever.
That's so. Not an answer. Is that true?
That's the plan. Yeah, he
oh,
said
Billy String. Sorry. That's
oh, there, that's there we go.
That's a great one.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I like cool. The King Giz answer.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like the other answers too, but I also like King Giz, and I wish to see them but haven't. But Lucas, I don't know if Lucas is listening, but he loves King Giz, so shout out.
Let's hear another one.
Okay, this song came out on Spotify and all the other things. I'm definitely Spotify centric. Sorry. This song is called Colorado. It's out all over the internet. Yeah.
UVM students, there's QR codes in the Davis Center. Pretty little album. You just got to scan the code and listen to it. We make it easy for you.
Thank you.
that it is worse each year. I'm hardly here. They say the war was won last night, and soon we won't have to die, be forever young. We could touch the sun.
amazing.
That was so good.
Wow. I was so excited that you guys were going to play that song that I had to hop on the mic. For those of you listening, I'm MD McKenzie, and I just wanted to come and say that a lovely part of my job is that I get to review the logs of what DJs play every week and submit them to the charts. And I wanted to be in the studio today because I knew that you guys cracked our top 30 most played artists at the station. So you guys were submitted to the North American College and Community Radio charts, which is pretty exciting. If you ask me, but of course I'm like a little biased in that regard. But I know you talked about the QR codes being up around the Davis Center, and I'm sure other UVM students are very much enjoying your music, but I can say that WRUV DJs definitely are. So
yeah,
just wanted to hop on and say that.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank
you so much.
QR codes everywhere. Well, we'd love to, seeing as it cracked our top 30, we'd love to hear a little backstory on that song, maybe how you guys wrote it, what the inspiration was, if there was any inspiration.
I feel like I just am like collecting voice memos all the time on my phone. Just like usually when I like I'm supposed to go somewhere, I'll pick up my guitar and have a really good idea. And it's like when I like have time to write something, it's like I can't focus. But so I had that like main riff part, like the da 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 da, that thing like for like a year, and I was like, that thing's pretty cool. I should make a song with it eventually. And I don't know. I don't normally write high, but I do think I wrote a lot of the guitar parts after smoking some weed, and maybe that explains the weird time signatures of some of the parts in there. But I feel like I was just like, I had like some riffs that I was like, this is kind of catchy. How do I like move it around so it's a little bit weirder? But then the like words of it, well, you know, like skiing isn't so hot here anymore, and it's kind of sad. So that's kind of what it's about.
Yeah, I remember going up to J-Peak freshman year to try and ski, and it was ice cold. I also did not have snow pants, so I was miserable. And dream of getting out west sometime soon to ski, because it's so much better out there.
Have any good memories or experiences in Colorado?
I guess, like, yeah, I went on a few, like, family skiing trips there when I was growing up. My grandfather has a condo in Breckenridge. I've been there like a few times. My uncle lives in Denver. It definitely, I don't know, is a little more of like use as a metaphor as opposed to like being like a specific, I don't know, thing I was attaching it to.
Fair. But yeah.
Well, would you say your lyrics are secondary to the instrumentation of your music?
I would not say that it's secondary. No, I think like when I like the moment that a song becomes like worth finishing, a lot of the times for me is when there's like a lyric that like hits a set of music and then it like explodes and becomes like twice as powerful as it was before, and I'm like, oh, okay, like I don't feel like I can finish something until there's a lyric that like feels like the music is pulling out of it. Mm-hmm. At least so far, like I hope to write some instrumental music or finish instrumental music over time, but I think they're like, to me at least, like they both gotta be really good. To me, yeah.
Yeah. Where do you get your inspiration for your lyrics?
Terrence McKenna, Rick Rubin, Duncan Trussell,
Dennis McKenna.
I don't know. I guess like
classic. Okay.
Yeah. It does definitely feel like just like vaguely reaching like out to try and like I don't think I have a good grip at the moment on like this is what a song is going to be about, and then I'm like writing about it. It kind of feels like I don't know, like digging through a pile of sand to try and like get something that feels sort of cohesive, and then I don't know, just following emotionally alluring lines, I guess. But I don't know, at a certain point I feel like I have an idea of what the song is making me feel, and then I try to hone in on that. But
yeah, I get climate doom, climate anxiety off of Colorado for sure. Big time.
You saying Duncan Trussell reminded me of Midnight Gospel, so I want to know if you guys have seen Midnight Gospel and if you would ever go on and be a part of Midnight Gospel, and what would you talk about?
Ooh.
I know, loaded question there.
It's awesome. It's one of my favorite questions.
I love it.
And the guests are incredible. Yeah. I mean, there's a few that I feel like I really connected with. There's a lot about death and dying.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Which I really appreciate. That's their last episode, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's actually two, and the one, but that's the one with Trudy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is just incredible.
As someone that will one day die, that one really meant a lot.
Yeah. I too also share that fear in the eventuality. Yeah. No, I think that's a really good question. If I were to talk about something on there, my background is in religious studies. That's like what I went to school for. So I would probably end up talking about like cults of personality and charisma and maybe how that plays into music and how like there's a responsibility that comes with like when you're really vulnerable with your heart and you make something to try to make people to evoke a reaction or a sentiment in people that you then have their trust and their lives in your hands, and you need to like take that seriously. And I feel like a lot of artists these days kind of, it's a little flippant with people's like adoration, and you know, I feel like if we were to ever get to that kind of level, I'd really want to connect to a community and not be super separate from it. Something along the lines of like Fish or another band like that that really inspires community and interaction.
It's really just, interesting. Yeah. I would record a podcast. I'll listen. I'd be hooked.
Yeah. Well, no, we can save it.
Oh, okay. It's PSA time.
Yeah, every hour on the hour. We've got a public service announcement for our listeners, and we like, or they like, you guys get to choose one, and usually there's like a little bit of a backing music ordeal when we've got guests on. So if you guys want to do a little jam,
yeah, diddle,
and read an important message.
Yeah, I don't mind reading.
Okay, cool, awesome.
Great. So I can choose a random one.
Yeah, anyone doesn't matter.
Leave no trace. Here in Vermont, we're lucky to be surrounded by the beauty of nature. As you're exploring the Green Mountains this fall, we urge you to keep the Leave No Trace principles in mind. To ensure that Vermont's natural wonders are preserved for future generations, try to 1. Stay on marked trails to protect fragile ecosystems, as well as reduce your chances of getting lost. 2. Observe wildlife from a distance to avoid disturbing the animal's natural behaviors and habitats. 3. Stick to designated campfire rings and make sure that the fire is completely out before leaving. 4. Carry all trash out of the forest with you to dispose of it properly. This includes things like beer bottles and cigarette butts. And finally, be a good nature neighbor. If you choose to play music while spending time in nature, make sure to keep it at a volume that will not bother those around you who prefer to enjoy their outdoors time in silence. By embracing these principles, you're not only enhancing your own outdoor experiences, but also playing an active role in preserving the forests of Vermont. So, lace up those hiking boots, grab your backpack, and let's explore Vermont's incredible wilderness while leaving no trace behind. This has been a public service announcement from your Planet Protecting DJs here at WRUV. With that nature country themed memo, we can play a fitting song.
Oh, well, let's get right into it.
Right into it.
Beautiful work.
Read like spoken word.
Ready? Yeah.
Came back from Jordan broke. A little jail time having served this soul. I couldn't handle my liquor worth a dime. And I had no idea what to do with my time. So when I first ran into you, my roommate Jackie introduced this fine girl Lucy to my mind. And we traveled the moon's dark side on the lawn of Josh's eternity.
It's a great big speaker's face in the street. Can't inflate it, time and money. It's crowds of people stumble to a party. I look back on those days. I used to drink the nights away. I had the start to make you last, and the hangovers weren't quite so bad. But now it's Vermont sober for me. Keep your liquor, I got my LSD. Getting drunk only pours in my dreams. Suicide at sunrise. Short takes a killer every time.
Thank you. Some rootin' tootin' fun.
Yeah. I know. I felt like I had to, like, start jigging around up here. Yeah. Almost overtook me there. You said that one had something to do with leaving, nature something. I'm not going to lie. I couldn't hear the words too well, but I wasn't fully.
This song's called Vermont Sober. It's about things you do instead of doing alcohol. Mm. Other things, yeah.
Would you guys say that your lyrics sort of influence the sound you're going for in terms of your instrumentals, or would you say sort of the instrumentation comes first and then you come up with lyrics? Like, how does that usually work?
I think the vibe of the instrumentals and of the lyrics are on a similar enough wavelength that if a lyric or some words have a particular emotional charge, then the music that at least I would write with it would match that. And as for which comes first, I guess personally it depends. But I don't think I would write a lyric expecting music to go one way to it and then find that it goes another. I think they come to be at similar times and with similar emotions.
I see. Like, kind of very spontaneous. sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, I usually, like, when I'm writing something, like, make a voice memo as I'm coming up with something and then, like, improvise a melody and sort of, like, nonsense syllables. And then maybe I'll get, like, a line or two. And usually for me, at least, I like to go back and sit with it later and just focus on the lyrics separately. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Where are you guys from? We guess we should have asked you that before. But, like, yeah, where are you guys from?
I'm from Connecticut, New Canaan, Connecticut.
I'm from East Hampton, Connecticut.
I'm from Woodstock, New York.
Cool. Do you guys plan on, like, staying in Vermont? What's your thoughts on that? Where do you want to end up?
I've, since June this past summer, moved home after living in Vermont because rent is oppressive. But
yeah,
it is true.
The boys are up here, and we're making it work. As for a plan of where we're going to go, we've been scoping northwards towards Portland.
Northwards.
Mm. Portland is south, but...
yeah, actually?
South. Yeah, it's pretty far south.
Latitudinally, it is
low. Oh, man. Okay, can I please read the statement?
WREV does not support... No, okay. Effort was there. I'm also terrible with geography, so don't even. I thought everything in Maine was north, so it's okay.
No, I totally get where you're from.
You know.
No, you're... Yeah.
How did you guys get into your instruments? Like, when did you start playing? And
I started playing bass in a Nirvana cover band in eighth grade.
Whoa. And, coolest middle schoolers ever.
Fantastic origin story.
All the cool kids, or the kids that I admired, were doing it. And then I remember listening to the music, and I was like, I really don't know about this, but these people are pretty cool, so I'll go for it.
Did you wear your bass really low, like
no, honestly, because it's so uncomfortable. I choke it up. That's how I started, and then my brother got a guitar for Christmas one year, and then he didn't play, so I kind of took over.
I started playing drums in, like, ensembles in school, like a jazz band, marching band, orchestra, so I got some timpani and gongs and all the snare stuff, so I started that, and then my friend Wyatt, shout out, he needed me in a band, because his other band kind of fell apart, because, you know, everybody started getting involved, and that's the downfall of a band, so thankfully I've got my brothers here.
These guys stay out of my way.
So yeah, and then I, like, kind of played a little bit out and around town in Woodstock with that guy, and I came up here, and Andrew Greenberg, shout out, introduced me to all these lovely folks and the scene up here. You know, shouts out to him, much love, and it's kind of been history since. That was three and a half years ago, and I've just been playing nonstop since. So
nice.
When I was like 13, I think, started getting back into guitar, and I did a few, like, School of Rock programs. I was in the town that I in New Canaan, and I did that. Just like was a cool way to, like, actually practice playing live shows and being in bands, and just learn a bunch of catalog from, like, different artists. Like, we did, like, Rolling Stones and Yes and Rush and Led Zeppelin and the Chili Peppers. So I feel like that was a pretty big learning experience for how to actually play music with other people live. Yeah,
that's really cool. If
I
you
did
guys
that School of Rock thing too, it was cool for sure.
Awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. If you guys could play any other instrument other than the instruments you currently are playing, what would you play?
Drums and keyboard, but mostly drums.
Yeah, keyboard.
Yeah, I used to play keys. I used to play sax. I never got fluent on them. That's my biggest regret with music, is that I dove into drums and gave up on the keys and sax. So I'm going to get those back under control and maybe get fluent on them. That'd be great.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I want to circle back to kind of what we were talking about beforehand. I heard, like, a lot of bands mentioned in sort of how you guys started playing the instruments that you play. So I feel like a lot of the time the music that people grow up listening to or that they really like middle school, high school, definitely, like, influences their sound later on. So are there a lot of artists you'd say either you grew up listening to around the house or you got really into when you were younger that you still really like or you feel like still
really have a big say in like how you turn out, how your sound is.
The Chili's, no doubt.
Yeah, come on. Every teenager's favorite band. Those guys are so cool.
So Flea, what's your opinion on Flea?
Oh,
love that guy. He's awesome. I hope I get to meet him someday. I'm playing his signature bass right now.
Oh.
Hey. Good stuff. Sorry. I had to work in there.
Yeah, Chili Peppers absolutely is such like a teenage band, but they're like they're just such like an amazing blend of like fun, excellent musicians, and just like totally unique sound. And Led Zeppelin is also very high. That was like the Jimmy Page, like just that's how I like fell in love with playing guitar, I feel like. And like that doesn't go away. Like they're just, you know, the greatest rock band of all time. I'd say those are the two big ones from high school era.
I was listening to a lot of jazz then because I was like I was in a lot of those kinds of ensembles, and so and Adam Deitch, the drummer from Lettuce, is local to the Catskills, so I got to see him a few times and get introduced, and he like totally spurred my love for like learning how to be like fluent on the kit and be able to do and express yourself how you want. And so yeah, Lettuce is huge on the list. Led Zeppelin as well. That was what I started listening to. John Bonham is like the GOAT. He's the greatest at taking what he wants from other people's playing and incorporating it into his own sound, and that's something that every musician I like does. And so he kind of taught me that you don't have to do things one way. You can always come up with another. So those are definitely my two big from high school.
Just to kind of continue on that point about, you know, taking from other stuff, what kind of maybe like, you know, more out there bands do you guys find as influences that aren't necessarily, you know, rock or, you know, that kind of focus, you know, maybe some electronic or classical stuff that you're like, oh, that kind of that you bring into your playing, you know?
Yeah, I think we definitely all listen to like very wide music at this point in our lives, and like I wouldn't say I listen to mostly rock at this point. I'd say like John Scofield's pretty big for me, just like blending funk and just being so like tasty on the guitar all the time, but also like working in jazz in a very like approachable and crazy way. I gotta give it up to the Boys and Fish. Like they just have written some of the craziest music of all time, and like the fact that they've turned like that into a party is just like, to me, like that's so inspiring that you can just like write these like insane classically inspired compositions and then like just have people like party for 40 years. Like that's so cool. And I don't know, Lettuce is definitely gotten pretty big for me. I don't know, there's so much funk and jazz that and fusion stuff that is just pushing the envelope of like harmony and instrumental improvisation and things that I think we all kind of poke our heads into.
Corey Wong, his recent stuff is horn heavy. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Bela Fleck, the Wooten Brothers, like for in terms of our like collective influences, Schofield's way up there. Modesky Martin and Wood is way up there. For me personally, I mean, you know, John Coltrane, Miles, like all the bop legends. Art Blakey in terms of drums, Tony Williams for like that symphonic sort of like flair. He's playing melody on the drums. It's just the best. And that also really shaped how I approach a tune and how we approach the writing process, because I can contribute to a melodic idea without necessarily being on a melodic instrument.
Wow, thank you.
Do you think that like music theory is really important? Because I know some people I've talked to from friends and other bands on Exposure, there seems to be a bit of a divide of some people are like, you don't need music theory because if there are no rules, you can't break a rule. Other people are like, you need music theory or there's no music. So what are your thoughts?
I think it's worth your time. And it definitely sucks. And practicing it is such a pain. And I, at least when I'm being creative and really enjoying music, I don't have the jazz brain where I'm not really thinking about what's going on. But it is something to be strived for. Not that I need to be thinking about what I'm playing all the time, but it definitely helps to be able to seriously analyze what just happened on your instrument when it happens, when you want it to happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like every musician, whether they like call it music theory or not, like has a understanding of chords and how they relate to each other. And like, so I think everyone does have an understanding of music theory. I mean, music means so many different things to like so many different people. And some people, it's a place to like really like tell stories. And you know, if you're really like songwriting focused, like you don't really need to go that deep into music theory. You know, like it's really, I don't know. Some types of music is really, I don't know, about like energy and power. And like maybe punk music tends to be less theory heavy. And like you don't need to go that deep to like really push things in different ways. So. I think it kind of depends on, what music you're inspired by and what you hope to get out of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of different languages to communicate an idea, and we primarily use English, but you can use rhythm itself. You can communicate rhythmically, you can communicate harmonically. If you mirror what somebody else is playing, you play it a third up or whatever, and you harmonize it, somebody understands the direction that you're taking it, and then they can work with that. And you might be able to say that in the moment, that we're going to go up a third, or you might actually just do it. And then they see what your trajectory is, and then you continue up the chain. Or like a chromatic thing that like everybody can just continue to keep going on. Or rhythmically, you know, it's time to change time signatures. I did a drop beat here, and then we kept playing in the eight, but you heard where the drop beat was. And then after four times, maybe we all do it together. Mm-hmm. And it's like that kind of thing where you just drop hints. And I feel like that's kind of the game that gets played, is how few hints do you have to drop to somebody before they totally get where you're going? And it's kind of like people play the game differently, but that's sort of where I see it going.
So I guess the fundamental ingredient then is active awareness rather than an encyclopedia of music theory.
Yeah. And there's definitely,
mind blown.
I feel like a lot of active awareness going on that I'm noticing as you all are playing. Seems to be a lot of, I'd say, like communication, unspoken, and a lot of awareness of like where you all are at and what you're doing. Would you say that that helps when you're like performing live and you're trying to get maybe a little bit more experimental, just to like stay in tune with how everybody else is playing on stage? And would you say you have any like methods you guys use to kind of keep that like intuitive sort of connection with one another?
I mean, I think that is like the thing that makes a live show good, is like if you're listening to the whole comprehensive thing and connecting with everybody else. And for sure, there's like, you know, when we're in a place where we can be relaxed, especially if we get to like a more improvisational section, like we definitely go further if we're relaxed enough to listen to each other. So like that's, I feel like the magic of creating something in the moment is all comes from being relaxed and paying attention to how you fit in with the overall thing, as opposed to paying as much attention to just what you're doing.
Cool. Yeah. Wow. You guys are definitely on the same wavelength. I like to see it.
Yeah.
Let's listen to another one, though. It's been a while, and grace my ears with something good.
Do you want to do Sidewinder?
Alright.
This one's coming out in 2 weeks. 1 week. Next Friday.
November 1st.
Great. Very, very Goose-esque. I don't know. I enjoyed that. Do you? How do you feel about Goose? Do you guys like him?
I like Goose a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They missed the influence list, but Cotter Ellis, one of my favorite drummers from the Burlington scene, so thank God he's up with them now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, like, Rick, the guitarist, like, jumped out, like, a few years ago when I found them. I was like, wow, like, someone who's like has a very fresh new voice on the electric guitar, and
yeah.
I don't know, got me excited in like modern rock music in a way that I hadn't been for a while before that. I feel like I was listening to more like, I don't know, electronic and rap and, you know, cool kid music.
Right. Cool kid music. So you guys aren't cool kids, or you are?
We've since downgraded.
You know what? But you're like in. Here's my take. Maybe this is an unnecessary comment to bring to this exposure session, but I feel like, you know, the cool kids are actually not even that cool, but, like, what's cool is, like, when you're not cool. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
you're cool
really
when
true.
You're, like, genuine.
Exactly.
Being cool is so overrated.
Yeah.
Passion is cool. Passion is fucking cool. Sorry. Passion is really cool.
WREV does not support the preceding material. If you have a problem with the preceding material, please call
802-656-4399. Passion is but I think you do a good job emulating. I don't know if that song was meant for it, but that was your guitar tone sounded the same, and you know, you had those peaks going on that was happening. So good on you. Great work. I really enjoyed that one. I was thoroughly vibing out on the couch over here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Another silly question. WREV Exposure Classic, what is your favorite smell?
Fresh laundry.
Solid
or
pick.
Or a dishwasher.
Solid.
Wow. When you get a little bit of gasoline out of the pump.
I make sure to drip some every time. And I'm from New Jersey, so I miss anyways, but I love dribbling a little, so it just kind of, yeah.
The best is when you step on it after, so it's in your car with you. You can drive around
it. Right. Ava, you're single-handedly ruining the entire environment. Just letting you know.
It's okay. It's for the scent. Sorry.
I am a contractor. That's my main gig until this starts to pay some of the bills. And so I love the smell of freshly cut pine, cedar, spruce.
Mm.
So nice. Just the best.
So true.
Have you ever found a candle that actually emulates what that really smells like, or is it all fake?
Cedarwood is not real. Shout out to, you know, big cedar, you know, making that stuff up for real. It's not actually real. But if you have a nice piece of cedar, you can use it as a candle wick if you soak it in paraffin wax.
And does
and
it
that
smell
like cedar.
Delicious?
It's oh. Yeah, the smoke smells delicious.
So where can I acquire said piece of cedar wood?
Well,
cedar.
I happen to have my work fan here. You're welcome to a piece after the show. I
perfect,
got you.
Perfect. Did we go through all of them? Oh, yeah, gasoline.
Yeah, gasoline.
You guys want to share your favorite smells on the couch?
Mine is a little off base, it's the smell of a hockey rink. But that's just for...
No, I feel you.
Years and years of playing youth hockey, it's like just brings me back the second I smell it. So,
that's yeah. Beautiful. I go back and forth on this. I actually think about this pretty often. I think sandalwood is like a classic like scent if you're looking for like a scent. But if you're trying to go more authentic, sort of the smell of whatever they used to clean the downtown branch of like the public library that I would go to as a child, whatever that is, I will get whiffs of it occasionally, maybe like once or twice a month, and I'll go, oh, that's the library, and it's fantastic. It's mm-hmm. like, it reminds me of like the fish tanks and the computers and, I mean, the books, I guess.
That's the power of Pine Sol, baby.
I like a classic old campfire. Love a campfire. I like to have my sweatshirt smell like campfire after the fire. A lot of people don't like that. What's up with that? Anyway.
Yeah. I echo the gasoline, also the campfire, and also like the ice rink. I grew up as a figure skater, so like the scent of like post hockey practice was gross, but the smell of like freshly cleaned ice was like so crisp.
Now that I'm thinking about it, though, what is that smell? Is it the
BO?
Is it the ice or is it the Zamboni's like chemicals?
I don't
what
know, but I do
smell?
Remember there was one time that the Zamboni started leaking chemicals right before I was supposed to get on a session, and it was making everyone lightheaded, and we had to actually evacuate the rink, and no skating was had that day.
Brutal.
Yeah.
We've got about 15 minutes left. I don't know how many more songs did you guys have planned? Probably more than 15 minutes worth.
Yeah, we have three, but we could just do two of them.
Okay, well, let's quit the talking, and then you guys play for your final moments here, and yeah, we'll end it. We'll end it sadly, but.
Carousel and Jet Dog? Jet Dog and Carousel.
Which way would you prefer?
Probably that, so that we have Carousel to end.
Sure. Are we going to be able to do the serpent?
We don't have time for all.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. We technically have to stop at, like, 7:45, but, like, we can push it a little bit as long as we're out by 8 in the room over there. All
right.
So if you guys want to squeeze it in, we want to hear what you're going to give us. All right,
we don't jam on any of these, so.
All right.
Let's just go right between them.
All right.
So we'll starting with Jet Dog.
And then we'll do Serpent Second.
Sure. All
right. The song's called Jet Dog.
Thank you. words, and I can't make sense. Then again, fill my eyes, I choose and shout. Oh, the leaves now are changing. Water.
hypnotized. You're just the sound. Can't take that from me. You got me feeding on what I never needed. My stomach's bleeding. Your eyes are rolling back, and your head, you wanted to last. Ecstasy I've never known. Wrapped my birth and stole it from with a deeper wondering why it taught me everything I know. Round and round, the wind moves onward. If it all falls left for some better play. Lift it, child. Will you bring to me gentle sweetness, shake the sky, every death moves behind. There's a vast and senseless strength with its strength. It seems to everything. It's rocking sinister wings. See, it's all the same.
Do you have time for 5 minutes off?
It's 7:46.
Like, we could.
It's okay. I mean, it's right. We had a good show.
I'm happy. Oh, you guys sound so disappointed.
No, it's like literally totally fine.
Can you make a 5 minute song a 3 minute song?
Not
you can
one.
You can challenge? Make a 5 minute song a 5 minute song, and we'll just speed it up at the end, like, or we'll wrap it up quick. You guys got it.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see the dialogue. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Cosmic Serpent.
I like that name. Why don't you plug yourselves a little bit? Tell us when your next shows are, when you've got things coming out, where we can find your music, stuff like that before we head out.
Sure. Let's see. This Friday we're playing at Arts Riot from 6:30 to 7:30 with the band Head to the Roots. Then our next show is our album release show at Radio Bean on November 8th. We're playing with Clive and the Hive. It is sure to be an epic time. What else? Our Instagram is moondogs_band_ on Instagram. Website is moondogs-band.com.
Is there anything? Colorado came out last Friday. Sidewinder comes out next Friday. And our album comes out November 8th.
Yeah. Peace and love.
So awesome. Exciting. Thank you so much for... Do you have anything to say before we...
Yeah. Come? Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. Super fun, as always. Important to note that while we were on air, we actually met our revised fundraising goal, which is super awesome. We thank all of our listeners for not only tuning in, but continuing to donate to the station. It means so much to all of us here on the panel and keeps things like Exposure going. We are revising our goal again, so keep the donations coming. It goes towards obviously powering Exposure, but also making sure that our booth is in working condition to keep your ears listening to awesome music on the airwaves. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And next week we've got Fossil Record coming in, so you guys tune in to them. But you guys rock. Seriously, thank you for coming in. I had a really good time talking to you. We all did. You played some
very
good
insightful
jams.
Conversations.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. This is awesome.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, this has been WREV Exposure, 6 to 8 p.m. every Wednesday. We're gonna head out. Keep on listening to 90.1. Got some good music coming. And yeah, tune in next week.
Drag me on the floor.